I don't know about you. If you're a parent today, I see business owners, I see stay-at-home parents, I see people, maybe you're later on in life, you're retired. I can't even imagine that. I know there's a few that are going to be retiring this summer, and I'm not going to use any names, but I just can't imagine a few of these people retired. Like I'm like kind of like Dad, which he wasn't retiring, but it would be like his retirement, I believe, which is getting real tired because he works more than before. But right, there's so many different people in so many different places. And I believe that it's vital that we realize that we need, I know I need, the Holy Spirit to walk beside me every single day. When you have 5 kids at home, I will tell you what, you have all the opportunity in the world. When you have 1 kid at home, when you've got a spouse at home, we'll start there, you've got all the opportunity in the world to realize and to decide, I have to have the Holy Spirit help me because I cannot do this well on my own. Right? I might be able to do it. We might be able to make it through. We might be able. But when the Holy Spirit is leading us and guiding us and feeding into us, then it helps tremendously when moments or situations arise. Right? Yesterday, we were doing some work. We were hanging out. And Chandler, sometimes, if you can believe this, he can be a handful. He's our 4-year-old. So therefore, you know, he can be a handful. And there's those moments when you're like, would you not just be quiet? Would you not just sit down? And now there's this phase. I think Chandler has decided he wants to be a UFC ultimate fighter. Like, he body slams my poor Kate, just like takes her and like, it's the end. She has no hope. She's way older than him, but it doesn't matter. Jordan, I don't tell him I said this, but sometimes I'm not sure Chandler, my 4-year-old, he might be able to beat up my 7-year-old. It's very possible. And you're like, Lord, give me strength. And I believe the Holy Spirit wants to do amazing things in our lives, but he wants to start in the most basic moments of our life, what we would call the normal, right? The things we do every single day. In fact, there's some of you that you just sitting next to your spouse right now, you can be honest with yourself and you're like, and you could look at each other if you want to. Maybe you shouldn't, maybe don't make eye contact here. It's up to you, but where you could say, I need help every single day. And this is how I would say it, because my sin nature is really strong and I need help. You could blame them, but that would be no point. So it's me, it's always what I can do. And there's moments where it's like, Lord, I need your strength so that I can experience you, so I can walk in you, so I can treat the people around me the best possible, right? So that I can be used by him. I need the Holy Spirit in my life so that when I have no clue what to do in a situation, when I have no clue how to speak truth into someone's life, when I have no clue that the Spirit will give a little bit of a tap on my shoulder or maybe a little nudge, that all of a sudden we can say, you know what? I think the Spirit just spoke directly to me. I think the Spirit just told me what to do. I need the Spirit of God directing me and guiding me. I need the Spirit of God pouring himself into me. And I would guess that if each one of us looked and if each one of us thought about our own situation, that we'd say, I need the Holy Spirit. There might be some of you that you've got a work situation that right now you need the Holy Spirit because you don't know what to do. You don't know maybe a relational thing. Maybe it's just wisdom in how to grow the business that you have. There's so many things. And I believe the Spirit of God wants to move and be poured out upon us. Now today, I want to just look at a few things, and as we do, I might throw in a couple stories of the Holy Spirit speaking or moving in my life, and maybe you could even begin thinking if maybe the Spirit's moved in your life, of some of those moments when he's showed up in a mighty or in a powerful way. But a few things that we want to talk about, we're going to look at 4 different areas. What does it mean to be baptized in the Holy Spirit? First, the baptism in the Holy Spirit is a spiritual experience following salvation, where a follower of Jesus is immersed or filled with the Holy Spirit. Now, I talked about water baptism. We believe in water baptism, that you come, you find Jesus, that you go to a pond, a pool, that will be hot tub basically next week, in 2 weeks, it'll be nice and warm. And you're immersed in the water. And it's a representation of the old person going away or going under and the new person coming out. That Jesus, what he's done in us, that it would be a demonstration outward. And when it comes to the baptism of the Holy Spirit, this is a spiritual experience following salvation. If you'd say, well, I was saved and I'm filled with the Holy Spirit, I've got the Holy Spirit in me, I would say you are 100% correct. Romans 8, 9 says, if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, they do not belong to Christ. So first of all, if you are concerned, it's good to know if you've allowed the Lord into your heart, you've given him and asked him to forgive you of your sins, you can feel good today because the Spirit of God is in you, the Spirit of God is working. But this baptism in the Holy Spirit is another level. It's another thing, an immersion in. It's something that is more a full thing that helps guide and direct and move us. In fact, in the early church in Acts 8, 14 through 17, I find it really interesting that when there's some people who they didn't have the Holy Spirit, the church sent people to go and to share. It was an important aspect. It wasn't just something that could be, but it was something that needed to happen in their day. Acts 8, 14 through 17 says, when the apostles in Jerusalem heard that Samaria had accepted the word of God, they sent Peter and John to them. When they arrived, they prayed for them that they might receive the Holy Spirit, because the Holy Spirit had not yet come upon any of them. They had simply been baptized into the name of the Lord Jesus. Then Peter and John placed their hands on them, and they received the Holy Spirit. Right here, we realize over and over throughout the New Testament that the Holy Spirit is something that is vital to us. Beyond our salvation moment, beyond coming to Jesus, the Spirit wants to give us another dose of power, authority, of strength. He wants to be our advocate. He wants to move in our lives. They would even send pastors. They would send people to go and to make a difference. The baptism, it's a spiritual experience following salvation. The baptism in the Holy Spirit, it's an experience evidenced by a sign called speaking in tongues. Now, right here, you might say, this is where maybe you've never heard of this before, or maybe you've heard before, but you've never been filled. This is where many people, I think, get caught up and say, speaking in tongues seems a little bit weird. I don't understand why this would be. Why is it that God would have us speak in another language that we do not know? One that many times we can't understand, that many times is between God and me, but I don't necessarily know what is being said. I find it an amazing thought, but in your life, or maybe I'll use my kids again, what is the most difficult thing to control for most people? Anybody? The tongue, right? Is it not so easy to use the tongue for anything but good? It can be easy to use it for good. But when we get angry, what do? The first thing is a lot of times, if you're a man or you have any thought of anger, which is pretty much all of us, but if all of a sudden we can easily raise our voice, we can say things. And when we're in the middle of a fight or when we're in the middle of being uncomfortable, a lot of times we say things we don't even mean necessarily. Things get out of our mouth because it's maybe the most unruly member or part of the body. It's amazing. I can think of my own relationship with my wife. I've never hit my wife or any of those things, and I wish I could say I've never raised my voice at her, but she would laugh. She's not. She's being very nice. But right, I wish that would be something I could say I've never done. But the tongue is so difficult to control. It's something we have to work consistently and constantly to say, Lord, I'm going to speak what you would have. I'm going to speak how you would have. And even beyond maybe an anger moment or a moment when I don't know what to do, how many of us can just be negative, can speak words of not life, but of death over our own self, about our finances, about our relationships, about our kids, about our vehicles, about whatever? We can speak death over things just by the natural things of our mouth. Instead of speaking life and wholeness and hope and what Jesus would do and how he would move. And I think James 3, 5 through 8, which talks about being the most unruly member of the body, I think there's a good chance that God chose this as the sign because he said, if I can fill you and I can get a hold of our tongues, then how much more effective can we be in life and in ministry? I don't think it's a weird thing. I think it's a wise thing that the Lord would say, the most difficult thing to control is what I'm going to use to be a sign that my Spirit is flowing through you. It also means that maybe here today you say, I'm not real sure. I'm not the best prayer. You don't pray as strong as maybe you'd say somebody around you. When all of a sudden I'm filled with the Holy Spirit, I can speak in my heavenly prayer language, And I get to let the Spirit of God speak through me. The Spirit of God, which means you can't do much better praying than letting God speak and pray through you. The Spirit. I think that's why the speaking in tongues would be the sign. I also find it really important that Acts 2:4 says, "And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance." This is a privilege that we have. It's not something we have to do. It's not something that, I guess if you for... No, it is a normal thing that God wants to do, but it's a privilege when the Spirit comes upon us and when the Spirit moves and when the Spirit shows himself. It's a privilege every time we get to come before the Lord and worship him. It's a privilege every time. Maybe that coming before the Lord is in your car and you turn on a little bit of worship music or you just sing to the Lord. It's a privilege to enter into what Jesus is doing, what the Holy Spirit would speak. It's a privilege to let him move and speak through us, the Holy Spirit. It's a spiritual experience. It's evidenced by a sign called speaking in tongues. The baptism of the Holy Spirit is also something we should be seeking every day. The Holy Spirit, a moment that we have at church when we think of being filled, is not about a Sunday morning time at an altar. Many people, in fact, Ty Buckingham, we had him here. He's a speaker, an evangelist that goes around talking about the Holy Spirit and being empowered by the Holy Spirit. He said they've done research, and the two most likely or the most places they see people filled with the Holy Spirit are at an altar, at a service, or, if you weren't here, this might surprise you, in the shower at your house. Why would that be? Is it possible that when I'm at the shower, I can think? And is it possible many times we pray, many times we let the Lord speak to us because we're just standing there? If you're like me, you like to stand in the shower for 20 minutes. Like my dad used to hate it when he had to pay the water bill. Now I hate it for myself when I have to pay the water bill or the heat bill for the water, the electric bill. But when all of a sudden I can stand and think, and the Lord wants us to come, the Lord wants us to come before him and seek him on a daily basis. When we're in our shower, when we're in our car, when we're with our children, with our family, at our job, when we're going through the grocery store, the Lord wants us to seek him. The Spirit wants to walk with us. And what happens at an altar, at a service, or at a camp, or at a convention? All of those things are just icing on the cake. They're fun, they're exciting. But it's the everyday experience that makes the Holy Spirit something that I'm like, don't leave it. Don't miss it. Don't stop before you experience him. Wait on the Lord, just like they did in the book of Acts. God is moving. God is showing up. Something we should be seeking. Ephesians 5:18 says, "Do not get drunk on wine, which leads to debauchery. Instead, be filled with the Holy Spirit." And I find this very interesting, that the Lord would say, don't do that stuff. Don't do things, or maybe you could say even, don't self-medicate, but let the Spirit of God speak and move and show himself. Let the Lord move in your life. Because there's no side effects with the Holy Spirit. There's only good side effects. I guess there's a lot of side effects, but they're good side effects. They make us better. They make us live better. They make us act better. They make us more effective in our life. Don't get drunk on wine, but instead be filled with the Holy Spirit. God wants to continue to move. Acts 4:31 says, "After they prayed, the place where they were meeting was shaken, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and spoke the word of God boldly." And I think that is a key element to the Spirit, is why do we want to be filled? Why do we want to experience? Because it's then time for us to speak the word of God boldly, to proclaim who he is. God loves and cares and wants to pour into your life. He wants to move in you and show himself mighty and faithful and true. Are we walking him? Are we seeking him? Are we not leaving church for church and home for home? Not making a divide between the sacred and the secular, but are we walking in the power of the Holy Spirit every single day, saying, "Lord, would you show me your Spirit? Lord, would you guide me? Lord, would you direct me? Lord, help me, help me, help me, help me to accomplish what you've called me to accomplish, to be who you've called me to be." And the last area when I think of what does it mean, or what's that look like, is the baptism in the Holy Spirit is a command, not a suggestion. And as I was thinking about this, none of us like to be commanded. I mentioned my children several times. If you've ever noticed, rebellion rises up in people's hearts when you give them a directive, like, right? I see some people shaking their head. But there's moments in time when we need to look at the Word of God. And we say, Lord, what would you speak? And when the Lord would speak, when the Word would speak, then I don't need to any longer think about it. I was in a camp meeting this week for our summer camps, and believing God is going to do amazing things. And our DYD said something that I thought was really good, like really, really good. He said, as we're taking offering for Speed the Light, and we're going to hope to raise $20,000 at camp this summer, be $7,000 more than last year. That would be a big step. We're not trying to get people to believe that it's good to give to missions, because we don't need to. That's not a question. It's not about should we, but it's a matter of how are we going to let God work through me. It's a matter of we're going to do what he's called us to do. And the Holy Spirit is not something that's there if we want it, him. It's not something that we can walk with him if we want him. But the Word would say, go do it. Acts 1:4 says, on one occasion, while he was eating with them, he gave them this command, do not leave Jerusalem, but wait for the gift my Father promised, which you have heard me speak about. And I believe that just like they needed to wait on God and receive this gift, today, God would say, you don't leave. Don't get 3 months more down the road or a week more down the road. Ask me, seek me, wait on me, wait on me, wait on me, and I will give you my Spirit. It's a command. It's something that we need to do. It's a gift that he's given, and we need to take it for ourselves. We need to take it for our world. We need to take it so that we can accomplish the Great Commission of seeing the gospel spread all around the world. It is vital to us. It's vital to what Jesus is doing around the world, that you and I walk in the power of the Holy Spirit. Those are a few different things. It's an experience following salvation. It's an experience evidenced by sign called speaking in tongues. It's something we should be seeking every single day, and it's a command. It's something we need to do. But now you might say, how can I do that? On the day of Pentecost, they had been waiting for days and days on the Spirit to move. They didn't necessarily know what that was. They didn't have the gift we have, which is reading the Word and knowing what this is, knowing about speaking in tongues and understanding a little bit more of the ins and outs, at least a little bit. But what did they do? I believe that they created an atmosphere of expectation. They created an atmosphere of longing. They created an atmosphere by praising and expressing love to Jesus audibly. And why is it that we come on Sunday morning and worship? Why is it that Pastor Matt and the team, why is it that we create an atmosphere to let the Lord move? Because I believe that it's vital that there's times when we've got to focus in, say, Lord, I'm going to shut everything else out. My life, my week, Lord, would you speak? Would you show me? And then as you show me, then I can pour out into others. Luke 24, 52 through 53 says, then they worshiped him and returned to Jerusalem with great joy, and they stayed continually at the temple praising God. There's something that happens when we continually worship God, when we continually praise him. There's something that happens in the atmosphere of praise. Acts 2:6 says, when they heard this sound, a crowd came together in bewilderment because each one had heard their own language being spoken. When they were filled with the Holy Spirit, something crazy happened. They began to speak in another tongue. They began to move in the power of God, and other people all of a sudden that before there was no impact on their life, before there was nothing, they didn't really care, all of a sudden came and a crowd grew because they said, something is happening. Something is happening. I have to know. The Spirit wants to move. As we sit in his atmosphere, God will show himself. God will show himself. And I believe from just a practical standpoint, it's easier to speak in tongues if we're praising the Lord out loud. For some of you in the room today, speaking out loud in a service, that would be crazy. You're not going to have to come to a microphone. But for some of us, it might be a thing that we just need to break a barrier in our life and say, Lord, we're going to have some music on. No one else will even hear you. But Lord, I'm going to open my mouth. I'm going to speak out. And as the atmosphere has been set, Lord, would you move in my life? We have to create an atmosphere. And the last portion is we have to expect to experience the baptism in the Holy Spirit. We've got to expect and believe that we're going to speak in tongues. Luke 11:13 says, "If you then, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give the gift of the Holy Spirit to those who ask?" A key that I think is so important is that we have to understand that anything that God wants to give us is going to be good. It's going to be really, really good. He doesn't give us weird things. He doesn't give us things that all of a sudden are going to take control of us. No fear. God is not that kind of God. He wants to move in your life, and he wants to speak in your life, and he'll only do and only pour into you what you allow. So it comes to a moment where I say, "Lord, would you show yourself? Would you move in my life?" And then I've got to be willing to say, "Lord, I'm going to do it. I'm going to step in what you have." I've got to be willing to stop speaking in English. At some point to speak in another language, I have to stop speaking in English. Right? There's something that has to take place. You can't speak two languages at the same time. Although sometimes I think Elizabeth, my daughter, I think she's speaking multiple languages at once. I can't understand it. But in this case, we have to stop speaking in English at some point and begin speaking in the language that Jesus would give us, the Holy Spirit would give us. We receive the baptism in the Holy Spirit just as you receive any other gift. I think that's exciting today. A Christmas gift is given. There's a moment. God, we're going to have a moment up here. Maybe it's when you go home or on your way home or maybe sitting at your seat where you have to decide, "Lord, I believe. I'm going to step in. I'm going to take your gift. Now you fill me." And as we take the gift, I believe he then gives us utterance. He lets us speak in a new language. When you hear expressions, words, or syllables, maybe you feel those things in your life just from a practical situation, you have to speak them out. It says they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to talk in other languages as the Spirit enabled them. The same pattern in Acts 19:6. The Spirit will not speak for us or make us speak. We must speak the words ourselves. Also, something that I think is just important in my life when I think of spiritual disciplines is the Spirit is going to wait on us. The Spirit is going to wait on us. He's not going to speak for us. So there's a moment when we have to say, "I'm not going to wait any longer to say, yes, God, I'm going to do this." We think of spiritual disciplines. God's not going to make us get in the Bible. He's not going to make us get in the Word. There's moments when we have to say, like every day or throughout whatever our pattern, our schedule is, to say, "Lord, I'm going to get in the Word. I'm going to take you up on your promise that when I read your Word, it's going to become real and active and change my life." And when we say yes to God, when we take that step, then all of a sudden we reap the reward of that. I believe the same thing when we are seeking the Holy Spirit is don't wait, but take him on his word. Take him on his truth, what he's already given. Also, it's important to realize that the miracle is not in the speaking. It's not in the words. It's not in the exact things coming out of your mouth, but it's in what the Spirit is doing through you, through those words. It's what the Spirit is moving in your life, that we get to jump in and say, "Lord, I thank you. I don't have to understand it. I don't have to get it. I just know it's not weird because it's from you, and it's powerful because it's from you. It will change my life because it's from you." When you speak, he will allow your spoken language to be tongues. He will pour that into you. You may not hear the words in your mind, but when you speak, they will be in your mouth. So I mentioned before, you might hear or see or experience something that you're like, "Oh, I need to speak this." There's other times when we have to step out in faith and just say, "Lord, I think this is the moment. I feel that you've given me this. I feel that you've poured this upon me. And now I'm going to take a bold step of faith and speak out and let him fill those words." Also, speak even if it's only a few syllables. Right? It doesn't have to be a full language. You don't have to have all 26 letters and, you know, I'll put it all together. But Lord, you give me a little. I'm going to take that little and run with what you give me. Speak even if it doesn't sound like a language to you. Don't get caught up on the semantics of, does this sound like someone else? Or it shouldn't. Let God lead you specifically. Realize that you control the flow of the Spirit through you. You control what comes through. You control your speaking. And the Spirit controls the anointing, the power that he pours out through you. 1 Corinthians 14:32 said, "The spirits of prophets are subject to control of the prophets, of the prophet." And today, I love Jesus. He doesn't make us do anything, but he lets us speak out, and we control the Spirit flow through us. And the last one of these areas, just some different things, is continue to pray in the Spirit every day. If the Lord fills you, or if you've been filled in the past, don't stop. And if you haven't prayed in the Spirit in a while, today's a day to fire it back up. And then pray in the Spirit every single day. As we mentioned, the Spirit, we control the flow of the Spirit. I don't need to be refilled to speak in tongues again. I need to be constantly filled with the Spirit to walk in power, to walk in effectiveness. I want to be constantly in relationship with him. But daily, to spend time with Jesus. Daily, to spend time with the Holy Spirit. To daily communicate to him in my prayer language. Today, when I think of speaking in tongues, I believe the Lord, He moves in so many different ways. I mentioned that many people are filled with the Holy Spirit when they're in the shower. Myself, we do something called a Pentecost rally. I believe June 9th is going to be our Pentecost rally this year. And actually, Pastor Christian's dad is going to be coming. Daryl Booker is going to be coming to preach our Pentecost rally. So June 9th, it's going to be fun. But we were at what is now One Church, was Evangel Temple on the other side of town. And I was, I believe, 8 years old. I was like, I'm going to be filled with the Holy Spirit on this night. The desire was there. The excitement was there. Everything was there. But I guess you could say the Spirit was weak. Because I went to the front, packed altars. I got down on the altar. I was kneeling there. And then the weirdest thing happened, and I woke up. So that meant I fell asleep somehow. And during my nap, which was apparently really refreshing, like, everyone at the altar had pretty much gone, besides a couple people. They were still playing, but there weren't many people at the altar left. And then I just realized, like an 8-year-old boy, I'm speaking in tongues. I was filled with the Holy Spirit while napping at the altar. And I always say, that's not the best, like, why don't you come to the front and try to take a nap and you never know what'll happen. It could work. And if the Lord would guide you there, I mean, I'm all for it. It happened. I didn't mean to, but it happened. But today is all about every single person in this room, I pray, saying, Holy Spirit, would you speak? Would you move in my life? I want a little bit more. I want a little bit more of your presence. I want a little bit more of your power that would flow through me. I want to make a bigger impact at my job on Monday or at my school on Monday. I want to make a little bit bigger of an impact. And Holy Spirit, I need you. I can't do it on my own. I can't be what I want to be on my own. I need you, Holy Spirit. And if you're here today and you say, I've never been filled with the Holy Spirit, I want you to know there's nothing weird about the Spirit. There's nothing weird even about what he does, because you are in full control. The Spirit flows through you and he helps you. He's an advocate for you. The disciples, they waited. They waited and said, Lord, would you show yourself? Lord, would you pour your Spirit out? They didn't even really know exactly what was going to happen. But all of a sudden, God moved. And the entire look of the early church was completely flipped upside down. People that before would deny Jesus, people that before didn't walk in power, people that before would get reprimanded because they didn't have the power to see God move or to see something take place, all of a sudden, in one, I don't know, I think a couple hour period or an hour period, they were all filled with the Holy Spirit. They all began to speak in tongues. And the world has never been the same because of the power of the Holy Spirit flowing through the disciples. All around the world right now, when you think of churches, when you think of the Christian environment, Pentecostal churches, I wish all churches, I want all churches to grow, but Pentecostal churches are the only churches that are growing, that are seeing a mass amount of new people come to know the Lord. Why? Why is that? Because the Word of God says that when you're filled with the Holy Spirit, you'll be my witnesses. Right, you're going to go. You're going to make a difference. There's something that happens when I say, Lord, I don't want some of what you have. I don't want a little bit of what you have. I definitely don't want only what I understand. But Lord, today, I want all that you'll give me. I want every little bit of what you have. Lord, fill me with your Spirit. And maybe that means that tomorrow you go to work or you go to school and you are a different person. Maybe it means like, whoa, you just have opportunity after opportunity to share Jesus. Or maybe tomorrow it means you are a little bit more joyful. You have a little more peace in your life. And the people around you begin to see, wow, something's different. Something's happening in their life. And it's not even something that you have to get up on a box and talk about. But all of a sudden, people will see and experience the Holy Spirit through you until he guides you and directs you to speak truth and life and hope, to pray for someone, to encourage someone. The Spirit wants to move. But it's a matter of, are we, will we say, Lord, I want every single bit of what you have. As the pastor of Radiant Life Church, I think that church is fun. I love church. I love moments, and I love lights, and I love sound, and I love worship. I could worship all day, every day. But all of the other stuff is just for an environment is where we can say, Spirit, come. Where we can see one more person come to know Jesus. Where we can proclaim him one more time to one more person. And we need to be filled with the Holy Spirit to do that the most effective way possible. So today, worship team, if you guys would, girls would make your way back up here. We're going to take a few minutes. We have 22 minutes till 12. And we may or may not shut down at 12. We'll see what God does. But I am going to encourage you that today, every single person in this room, I'm going to encourage you to respond to God. I'm going to encourage you to respond to the Spirit. This isn't for a few people that have never been filled with the Holy Spirit. For many people that haven't been filled with the Holy Spirit. This is for every single one of us to say, Lord Jesus, would you show yourself so mighty and so faithful and so true? Would you speak? Would you give good gifts? Would you pour your Spirit into my life? I don't want to be what I was yesterday or right before church. I never want to be the same when I leave church. Because I've met with each of you and I've met with God and your Spirit's poured out upon me. And I want a little more of you. I want to walk a little bit more like you. I want to look just a little bit more like you, Jesus. Because I've been with you. I've spent time with you. And this morning, you'd say, I've never given my heart to Jesus. The only prerequisite today to being filled with the Holy Spirit is first having the Spirit on the salvation level. And right now, for everybody in the room, if you would bow your head, close your eyes, and you say, this morning, I want to know this Jesus. And I don't understand it. You don't have to understand every single thing, but if you'd say, I want to know Jesus, I want to be filled with him. I want to experience him. I want him to take my sins away. What he did on a tree couple thousand years ago, dying for my sins and my problems and my failures, and you'd say, I want all I can have, then I'm going to ask you here in a minute to raise your hand. I'm just going to count to three in a couple minutes. You raise your hand. We're going to pray. We've got a book that we're going to give you, just a book of John, so you can jump into the Word. The front of that book has some information about what you do with a new relationship with Jesus. But it's the most important decision of your life. It is the greatest thing. Jesus wants to walk with you. And then Jesus wants to fill you to another level with his Spirit. And you can have it all this morning. You can experience him this morning in a mighty way. You can experience what he has. So this morning, if you say, I'm here, I've never given my life to Jesus, and this morning, I want to give my life to Jesus. I want to make him Lord of my life. I want his Spirit to be in me and to walk with me and to help me. If that's you, would you raise your hand all over this room if you say, that's me, I want to know him, I've never had a relationship with him, and I want to give my life to him. Yes. Right now, if all over this room, if you would just stand to your feet. In your own words, would you begin to pray? Would you begin to ask the Spirit right now to show himself to you? Would you begin to ask him to reveal maybe a little bit more of who he is? Maybe if you've been in the past, you've seen things that you just didn't understand or you didn't get. Would you, right now, would you just say, Holy Spirit, help me not to think of anything of the past, but right now, would you speak? Would you show me? Let me stand upon what your word says, what the truth of your word says. Maybe here today, you just want refilled. You've been excited. You know we're going to talk about being filled this morning. You've already put it on Facebook, or you've already seen it, and you're like, come on, this is the moment. Will you let some excitement, some exuberance for the Holy Spirit right now? Would you let it well up? Would you begin to pray? Maybe some in this room, just in a quiet way, you want to begin praying in your heavenly prayer language. Right now, you say, oh, I want to be filled. Jesus, would you make me new? Would you make me whole? Holy Spirit, move. Maybe this morning, you'd say, I've got some issues in my life. Maybe there's anger, or maybe you struggle with pornography or lust, or maybe you struggle with a sin this morning, the Holy Spirit wants to come and help you. The Holy Spirit wants to come and guide you. Maybe this morning, you've got family members that they don't know Jesus, and you say, I need you, Holy Spirit. I need you, Holy Spirit, to help me. Help me be the prayer warrior that I can be. Help me say the right words at the right moment. Help me, Holy Spirit, to live my life in a way that pleases you so those around me can be led to you. Maybe this morning you just love this altar experience with the Lord. I'm praying that this morning He pours Himself upon you. But right now, if you'd say, you know what, I want more and I'm willing to come to the front. I'm going to ask as many people as you feel comfortable that you'd say, I want to come, that you would make your way up here. But if you're for the first time, you want to be filled with the Holy Spirit, you want to be given this prayer language, then I'm going to ask you just to put your feet, your toes, right up at one of these wood altars at the front. Just put your feet right up to it. And the reason we do that is just so we know who to pray for. We know who to pray for to receive the Holy Spirit. And right now, I would encourage you, if you've never been filled, make this your moment. This is your moment. He wants to move and He wants to speak. And we will have you come forward. We'll pray for you, and then we'll come back and pray as a group and continue to worship. But if you'd say, I want more of God, I want to be filled with His Spirit, I want a little bit, I want a lot, whatever you need in your life, would you all over this room right now begin to make your way to the front? Make your way to the altars. And if you want to be filled for the first time, put your toes right up against these altars so we can know who you are, so we can know where you are, and we can begin to pray for you. This morning, the Lord wants to pour Himself out upon you. He wants to speak. He wants to move. And I believe He wants to take Radiant Life Church even to a new place in Him. He doesn't give small things. He doesn't give little gifts. But He wants to pour great things upon you.